Not all trials enjoy top billing, but even in the less publicized cases, courts still have to deal with jurors being influenced by outside advice. The California Supreme Court ruled this week that two jurors committed misconduct when they spoke to their pastors during deliberations in a death penalty case. The pastors had advised the jurors to vote for the death penalty, which they did. Deborah Schifrin reports now on the disagreement religious and legal experts have about whether clergy members should be consulted in such cases.
There are two main reasons that courts nationwide instruct jurors not to discuss a case with non-jurors. The first, according to George Washington University law professor Robert Tuttle, is that judges and lawyers carefully select each juror based on his or her ability to judge a case fairly.
We're not measuring your pastor or your lawyer or your spouse's ability to help you judge this clearly. So it's really a concern about who we have gotten to make these judgments of fact in the case.
Tuttle says a spouse or pastor may be biased or bigoted, attributes that would disqualify a juror from serving. Plus, he says, they aren't in the courtroom hearing the case presented. And that leads to reason number two for barring outside advice. Tuttle says the court needs to control the evidence that will be the basis of a juror's decision.
It's supposed to be literally a sealed box. If you let jurors go outside of that process, it really destroys that whole process.
If a juror brings in outside opinions and shares them with the other jurors, Tuttle says, neither the defense nor prosecution has a chance to rebut those ideas, and it can sway a decision. But Harvard Divinity professor Harvey Cox says not allowing jurors to consult with their spiritual leaders violates the First Amendment. He says the right to freedom of religion becomes even more precious when making a difficult decision about the death penalty.
If they normally rely on spiritual advisors to help them to think through this kind of decision, to deprive them of the opportunity would deprive them of a constitutional and indeed a human religious right.
Joe Grabowski agrees. He's the president of the Institute on Religion and Public Policy. He says a religious person deciding on a capital case must be allowed to talk to a clergyman because there are repercussions for that juror in the next world.
When you are personally responsible for deciding whether or not someone lives and dies, you will be concerned about your own spiritual future. If I'm a Catholic and I believe that I make the wrong decision that sends someone to die, then I know that I will be judged for that when it's my turn.
Grabowski draws a distinct line between talking to a spiritual leader and talking to a spouse or therapist, and says the court should not lump them in the same category. Kevin Hassam draws the line in a different way. He's the president of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, an interfaith public interest law firm. He says a juror should be allowed to ask a clergyman for guidance on the subject of the death penalty, if it's in the abstract.
Like asking, what can a faithful Christian or faithful Baha'i do in a death penalty case? That's on one side of the line, and that's an absolute right. Just over the line is asking the clergy person, what about a specific case? That you can't do.
Hassam says the details of what happens in court should stay in court. But Melissa Rogers, professor at Wake Forest University Divinity School, says it can be tricky for the court to say it's okay for a juror to talk to a clergyman about one subject, but not another.
To the extent that you're trying at all to put some limits on the relationship between a clergy and a congregational member, it's a perilous enterprise.
One that must be carefully considered, she says, to ensure a balance between the needs of the court system and religious freedom. For Day to Day, I'm Deborah Schifrin.